Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Buckle your seatbelt because it is going to be a wild ride on our show today. It is Robert Edwards later on. I love talking to former Georgia greats on our program. Robert's always a lot of fun. He was a big performer in Georgia's 1997 win versus Florida. He is a guy that remains close to the program, including the running backs. It's always interesting to have Robert on the show. We will do that later. Also on today's show, CBS Sports, Brad Nessler. A couple things I want to get into with Brad. I am sure he is excited from a TV standpoint about the juice and the vibe on both sides. Both these teams, both these fan bases, Georgia and Florida, I believe on Saturday, think they're going to win. Media kind of split on this. Polls split with Vegas. Kind of sets up a fun two-way street if you're the TV broadcaster. I'm sure Brad feels that way. I also want to ask him about the future of this game in Jacksonville, too. So busy show for us guest-wise. Brad Nessler, Robert Edwards, all of that is to come. Let me begin, though, this way. Disclaimer first. I have been saying all week long. Now, we have never really been known as, like, the objective show. When it comes to, like, balls and strikes right down the middle, that's never necessarily been our niche in the world. That's not necessarily the brand we've worked hard to cultivate. If anything, we celebrate being a show for UGA fans. And as a little bit of an influence, microphones kind of give that to you. We've tried to use our influence to say, hey, not only is it fun to like Georgia, it's also fun to dislike Florida. It's also great to be a Gator hater. And if you're a Georgia fan, of all the rivals you could hate, hating Florida is probably the best one to hate, easiest one to hate maybe, and certainly enjoying beating up on the Gators is the kind of thing that can propel Georgia to great success. So the disclaimer here is take everything I'm about to say with a grain of salt, because there is a very good chance that this is cooler than I think it is. I just don't like Florida, so I'm sort of, I guess, bound to think things they do are not cool. But Florida has sent out some recruiting graphics, one of them in particular I'm going to show you in a moment, to a recruit named Dakota Mitchell, a three-star prospect of some variety for some upcoming class. And this is, to me, just plain weird. Now, it's a perfect thing in honor of Halloween. Can we show this? This is Dakota Mitchell on Twitter showing what Florida sent to him. Now, Florida has had this weird connection with Chucky, the doll from the, what was the name of the movie that Chucky was in? Child's Play, yeah. And so this is just weird to me. Dakota Mitchell sends this out. This is a back of a Chucky doll with a Dakota Mitchell jersey, number 9. And the thing down at the bottom says, wanna play, obviously in kind of a horror movie type font. I mean, this is frightening. If somebody sent this to me on Twitter, I believe I would report them. I mean, I think I'd be calling the FBI if somebody sent that to me on Twitter. Now, admittedly, I'm a Gator hater, and I'm also like 1,000 years old. This may just be like way cooler than I think it is. But to me, a lot of Florida's recruiting issues are explained pretty well when they're sending these. I mean, that looks more like a threat than an invitation to come play football at Florida. And I reckon that people in life have a way of self-selecting, and I'm sure the Florida players that are geared towards that kind of message, this is not the only weird thing Florida's done. In addition to the Chucky doll, there was that weird thing with that tiger skeleton. Do y'all remember that? That used to be on the sideline back when they played LSU. They had that weird tiger skeleton. There's a lot of dark imagery connected to this Florida program. For me, I like the kinds of messages that Georgia sends out better. We showed this to you yesterday, right after the NCAA did its thing about, hey, image, likeness, you know, go ahead, make a little money off that. Georgia says, commit to the G, commit to your brand, you know, grow your brand with the strongest brand. Now, the idea of making money off your image and likeness for amateur athletes, a little bit of a touchy subject, but the one thing we can agree is, if you get that in your inbox, hey, come make some more money, grow your brand, I feel like that would work on me as a player. And I feel like as a fan, those are the kinds of players I want in the program. The kinds of players who are like, yeah, I got a brand. I want to grow it. I want to build it. And while I'm here, I'm going to make that G look a little shinier too. I'm going to work on that Georgia brand a little bit too. Not only do I think that message works on recruits, I think the kind of recruits that message appeals to are the kind of recruits you want at UGA. Can I say the Florida thing one more time for those of you watching on video? I'm not quite so sure I want players who are swayed by the back of a Chucky doll. I guess they can't show the front because it's a copyright violation. Is that what we think here? They got to show only the back of it. Somehow the back of the doll is even creepier. I'm just not quite sure what this is. So maybe an example of kind of all of this and kind of how all that works out. And I will say this, to kind of bring this back to the football game on Saturday. Florida's recruiting efforts, kind of the way they are, kind of explains the disparity in talent, at least measurably, on the basis of like four and five-star type stuff, kind of explains some of that. Jeff Sintel is really good about writing about this kind of thing. Georgia, more than 70 former four and five-star players on its roster. Florida, fewer than 50. That matters in a game like this on Saturday. It mattered last year. Georgia won the game by 19 points. It mattered in 2017. Georgia won the game 42-7. Everybody's going to say, especially there are a lot of people kind of outside the bubble of Dog Nation. I heard this on a podcast this week. Oh, coaching mismatch. If this game's close in the fourth quarter, coaching mismatch for Dan Mullen over Kirby Smart. Obviously, I don't like Dan Mullen. I've got the Mullen clown shirt on today. I mean, I think Mullen's kind of a joke. But even someone like me who thinks he's a joke, you at least have to admit that against most opponents, Dan Mullen's been a pretty good X's and O's coach, a pretty good in-game coach. Saw a number this week. Florida's been a point spread underdog six times in the Dan Mullen era. Did you know that Florida's won four of those games outright? So you got to give Florida some credit that he's a pretty good game coach. But as we've been saying on this show this week, the exception is against Georgia, or maybe even more specifically against Kirby Smart. Suddenly the great game coach that is Dan Mullen, not quite so good there in that regard. As I said before, lost by 19 points last year. They were less than a touchdown underdog in 2017 when Mississippi State came in to Athens. Remember all those pros, Jeffrey Simmons and Sweat and all those guys playing in the league right now? Well, they lose again 31-3 at the final score there that day. Suddenly this great game coach that's Dan Mullen, outright upsets nine times at Mississippi State, four times already at Florida. Somehow that quite doesn't really work out so well when Dan Mullen takes on Kirby Smart. I think recruiting's a big reason why. Kirby just finds a way to get better players in his roster. Georgia has better players than Florida. This has not been a perfect season for Georgia. I would never try to tell you that it has been. Are there still some legitimate concerns for the Dogs to face throughout the rest of the season? They absolutely are. But I'm going to restate what I have been saying. If you had to play a must-win game against a good team, and by a rating and rate record and everything else, Florida's a good team, you could not handpick a more perfect team than Florida. Because of all the goofy stuff they do in recruiting, they end up with an army of three-star players trying to go out and do battle against Georgia. The pick of the litter, the four- and five-star guys, future NFL guys on both sides of the ball. Kirby Smart versus Dan Mullen, the coaching matchup, ultimately it probably doesn't matter very much. Kirby's just better at acquiring players and better at deploying them against Florida. And on Saturday, I expect the same thing to happen again. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we're available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. As I said before, really fun show coming up for you today. Robert Edwards later on. It is Brad Nessler as well from CBS Sports. We'll actually talk to him coming up in just a little bit here. Let me make you aware of a couple things before we get there, though. First of all, when it comes to Dog Nation Invasion, we can't wait to be in Jacksonville on Saturday. We cannot wait to let it rip for the cocktail party, and a lot of you are going to be a part of that with us. It would not be possible, though, without our sponsors. I want to make sure I say special thanks to all of them. R.S. Andrews, Kroger, Peach Pass, they have worked so hard to make Dog Nation Invasion an incredible event, an incredible luxury all-inclusive tailgate experience. Really, the whole weekend, us getting down there and everything going well. Could not do this without R.S. Andrews, Kroger, and Peach Pass. Huge thanks to all of them. And speaking of Kroger, obviously, today is Halloween, but it's not too early to start thinking about holiday stuff there as well. A lot of big savings going on, gift buying going on at Kroger. And Kroger's got a lot for you there as well. My daughter really excited about Frozen 2. They got a lot of items in stock at your local Kroger. That movie comes out, don't think I don't know this, November 22nd. My daughter's told me that a million times. You can already get your Frozen 2 gear and memorabilia there at the local Kroger. Star Wars stuff coming in there as well. How about this great deal? You can save $5 with your $20 toy purchase when you use your Kroger Plus card. You should make sure you got the Kroger Plus card. Big savings there on that. $5 off a $20 toy purchase at Kroger. You can go to dognation.com, find out more about this. Right there at the top, dognation.com, find out more about Kroger. Make sure you check that out, our friends there at Kroger. All right, so before we get Brad Nessler, let's go around the doghouse, brought to you today by Online Training Academy. And one of the things you probably know about me, two things. Hopefully, at least if you've been listening and paying attention closely, you probably appreciate this. I love hot takes. I love to spout them. I love to hear them. I love to debate them. Sports is supposed to be fun, and one of the ways we try to make it fun is really put ourselves out there with various opinions, and hopefully we get proven right. If we get proven wrong, sometimes that can be just as fun there as well because it generates a really good conversation. I've always said before, my job's not necessarily to be right, it's to be clear, and I just appreciate not just when I do that, but when those of you who reach out to me on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily or in our comment section, when all of you do that, that just makes all of this fun. Sometimes, I guess, maybe when you're the subject of these hot takes, maybe it's a little bit less fun for you, but around here, we just kind of like the take game. We kind of like to give them, we like to receive them, we like to hear them. And there's no doubt that one of the subjects of hot takes, really for the good and for the bad this season, has been Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm. Now, when you are a high-level, well-known quarterback, that's what you sign up for. Fromm knew that when he was 13 years old, that one day when you're a big-time quarterback, people are just going to talk about you. Fromm was talked about in high school. It's no surprise to him that he's talked about in college. And obviously, when you lose a game, you're supposed to win to South Carolina. And when you play in like the rain game against Kentucky, all of a sudden people are going to talk about you, maybe say some things that you don't necessarily want. But one of the great things about great players in sports, and I think that Fromm's a great player, one of the great things about great players is they just sort of have a history of shutting up hot takers. Even though I like the hot takes and think that's an important part of the sports engine, the great players have a way of vanquishing critics. The great players have a way of saying, oh, you think I'm this? Well, let me go out and play and show you that I'm that. And Fromm's got a real opportunity to do that on Saturday. I was looking at this morning before the show began. I don't really care about mock drafts in October because early in the process, they're notoriously wrong. You know, they're based on media perception more so than scouting analysis and game film. But I do think we've seen some interesting movement in one regard. One of Fromm's biggest advocates in terms of being a first-round pick this spring has been Matt Miller of Bleacher Report. When Miller put out a draft list back in May, he had Fromm as the number 9 prospect available for the 2020 draft. But Miller also put out a mock draft this week, and of the 32 first-round picks, Jake Fromm was not there to be found. So I'm not going to pick on Matt Miller because I don't really know all of his thought and reasoning, but it seems safe to take from this that Miller's changed his mind about Fromm. Once a top 10 pick, now not even a first-round pick, scared off by the rain against Kentucky, scared off by the poor performance against South Carolina, never mind the fact that we've got at least two starters in the NFL who were first-round picks that weren't very good college quarterbacks for the entirety of their career. Josh Allen of Buffalo, Daniel Jones with the New York Giants. These guys didn't just have one bad game against South Carolina. They were meager stats for the entirety of their career, but that's for the NFL guys to figure out. The point is, by virtue of some of the things that have happened for Georgia this year, Fromm enters the Florida game a little bit like he entered it last year, with a little bit of criticism, with a little bit of doubters, with a little bit of, here's what I think Fromm is. As I said before, great players in sports. The Tom Brady's, the LeBron James, the biggest bold print names you can think of. They just have a history of shutting guys up when they think they know what a certain guy is all about. And in Fromm's case on Saturday, got a chance to do the same thing. And he talked this week about how he and his Georgia offense are potentially working to do just that.
I think we've had a really good 2 to 3 weeks of practice, since the South Carolina game, and a lot of opportunities for us to kind of look at ourselves, get better. Just a lot of different things, just being cleaner as an offense, understand what we're trying to do, the physicality of what we're trying to do, being cleaner, executing on certain different plays. I mean, we can name a numerous amount of things, but I think we're ready. We're ready to go out and show what we've been working on, and this is a great time to go do it.
I love that demeanor from Fromm right there, knowing that everything's at stake on Saturday, the fact that he's calm about it, the fact that he's relaxed about it, the fact that he's focused on what the entirety of the team, the entirety of the offense is doing to get better. I think it serves him well. Don't forget, Fromm was big in this spot a year ago, 240 yards, 3 touchdowns. I believe the numbers were for Jake last year. This is a game where Georgia wants to run the ball on Saturday, but there's still an opportunity for Fromm, I think, to flex a little bit and show the media and the public and everybody else that they may have thought he was one thing, but he's actually something far, far greater than than many folks imagine. It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented today by our friends at Online Trading Academy. You know, you go down to Jacksonville, you have a big event, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party that costs a lot of money. And let's face it, when it comes to doing the fun things in life, we all want more money in our pocket. And one way or another, we know that investing is the way that you get there. But sometimes the question becomes, what do you invest in? I think the simplest answer to that question is, start by investing in yourself. That means learning how the markets work, both trading styles, asset classes, market going up, market going down. Online Trading Academy provides you a chance for that, both in the classroom and online. They can really give you the expertise that you need to make trading decisions for yourself and provide for you and your family the thing we all want, which is more money. But you've got to go to this website. It's tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. That's tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. That'll get you in touch with Online Trading Academy, and you can start making some money in the markets, and wouldn't that be a great thing to consider? All right, it's great to have all of you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. We've got former Georgia running back Robert Edwards coming up a little bit later on in the program, but for now, the guy who will call the game on CBS on Saturday, always fun to have Brad Nessler as part of our program here today on Dog Nation Daily. Boy, really looking forward to Saturday 3:30 on CBS, a great television product and a great guy to call the game, and a good friend of ours here on Dog Nation Daily. I'm sure looking forward to being back in Jacksonville again. He knows the history and the pageantry and the appreciation that exists for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. He can't say that on TV, but we'll say that here on Dog Nation Daily. It is Brad Nessler back on our program. Brad, really appreciate you spending some time with us, and I hope that you are doing well and enjoying the build-up to Georgia-Florida on Saturday.
Always, Brandon. It's always a fun one to do, and as you said, it's a little bit different to the blue and red right down the middle, a little bit like Oklahoma and Texas, and I love the scene. And I get the same kind of feeling, I think, when I look at the buses coming over the bridge and the guys coming in, and I go, you know, what must they be thinking right now? And I think the butterflies get to be about the size of turkey vultures, and then they see the crowd outside, and then, once they're in for warm-ups, it's pretty juiced in there. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it actually is. Absolutely is. And I was thinking about, you know, from a TV standpoint, you must also be enjoying this week as a guy who obviously wants to be able to put forth a good game on TV. This is kind of a two-way street this week. You've got polls that favor Florida. You've said before you don't necessarily watch the Vegas stuff, but the point spread favors Georgia. Georgia fans are seemingly pretty confident right now. Florida fans are seemingly pretty confident. There's some media people who will kind of talk up Florida and have on, say, ESPN, other places like that. It really seems like, as I said before, kind of a two-way street where both these teams, despite having each collected a loss, they seem like they are, you know, feeling pretty good about this game. It certainly speaks to what you guys obviously want more than anything else, which is an exciting TV product. The buildup would suggest that's what we're going to have.
I think so. I think Florida right now is probably playing to its potential, I think. I'm not sure because I think, you know, I didn't expect them to be this good this fast under Dan Mullen, and they are. And, you know, when their quarterback goes down and Kyle Trask all of a sudden walks in and hasn't started a game forever, I think he's better for this Florida team than Felipe Franks. And I like Felipe a lot, and I feel bad that he's injured and all that. I just think Trask runs this show better the way Dan Mullen wants it run. And I'd be really confident if I was a Florida Gator fan right now, more so than if I was a Georgia fan. And I say that because I don't think Georgia's playing to their potential, and I think Florida is. Now, Georgia's capable of it if they snap out of it and start playing like everybody thought they were going to play, lights out all year, and they run the ball as effectively as they have so far. They can win the game or will win the game, I think, if they put up 250 yards on the ground or whatever. But, there's other parts of their game that just aren't that good right now, and Kirby knows it, the fans know it. We'll see what Georgia team sort of shows up. I didn't think I was going to have to say that in the eighth week of the season, but that's how I'm looking at it right now.
Well, I do think it'll be interesting when I get a chance to go back and rewatch the broadcast that you and Gary will do on Saturday, just how much Georgia trying to prove that it's better offensively than it showed, certainly in the last couple of games. Obviously, rain's a factor against Kentucky, but the South Carolina game, you know, averaging less than 5 yards per play. Obviously, the four turnovers were a killer there. I'm curious to watch how that storyline gets handled by, you know, CBS on Saturday. Obviously, you'll have a chance to kind of speak to the Georgia coaches about that in the lead-up to the game. I won't ask you to betray anything that you may have, you know, learned from them over the course of the preparations here. But I do think how Kirby answers for that, most importantly on the field, is obviously a huge storyline here. I think there is a belief among some Georgia fans that that UGA can kind of get out from underneath the doldrums that it's been on, A, because Florida's a team that you probably can run against. Fromm did play well against Florida last year. So
right.
I think the opponent, despite the fact that it's ranked the top 10, may give Georgia fans some confidence. But there's no doubt that if Georgia goes out and plays offensively mediocre brand of football on Saturday, then we'll all look back on a lot of these games prior to that and say, well, what did you expect? That's kind of been the story for Georgia all season long. So from that standpoint, I guess the point that I'm getting to here is Georgia definitely has something to prove offensively on Saturday, and I think that's a huge storyline.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. You know, and everybody wants more explosive plays. Obviously you do. Everybody wants them to throw the ball downfield. Well, look at it this way. J.J. Holloman caught 2 touchdown passes last week. He's not a Bulldog anymore. Terry Godwin caught a touchdown pass. He's not a Georgia Bulldog anymore. Isaac Nutt, I think, caught 5 balls last year. He's not a Georgia Bulldog anymore. They're all either gone or they're in the pros. Riley Ridley caught a couple passes. Charlie Warner caught 1 ball last year. And DeAndre Swift, of the returning Georgia Bulldogs, he caught 1. And DeAndre caught 2 for 13 yards. Jake Fromm doesn't have his security blankets that he had last year, and I don't know that he has a lot of faith in the guys he's throwing to right now. He says he does. I think Lawrence Cager back is going to be a huge lift. I think that'll help a lot. But what I would say to all the people that want more explosive plays from Georgia and their wide receivers and their passing game is, hey, you know what? Go get open. Go get open, and when Jake throws it to you, catch the ball. It's just as simple as that, and they're not doing that. They're getting no separation. George Pickens has all the potential in the world. Hey, George, forget potential. It's like a French word that means you're not worth a crap right now. So go play and make some plays and help Jake Fromm out. That's what I would say to the fans that are frustrated by the Georgia offense. They're capable of being really, really good. DeAndre Swift is already really, really good. Jake Fromm is as good as there is, but he needs some help. You got to have some help on offense. If their offensive line dominates Georgia, dominates Florida, and keeps John Grenard and Jamari Zuniga and those guys off Jake and open holes for the running game, Georgia will win going away. If they don't, they're going to lose.
Yeah, I think that's pretty well said all the way around, that Georgia needs more of that performance when they do choose to throw it against Florida on Saturday. You also mentioned, you know, the situation with Zuniga and Grenard. They're trying to come back healthy. Georgia's trying to get Lawrence Cager back healthy. Defensive back Tyson Campbell, trying to get him back healthy. Solomon Kinley, one of the guards, trying to get him back at least to 100% here. One way or another, none of these guys are maybe perfectly 100% this late in the season. No one really is. But the health for both these teams when it comes to these key guys, maybe especially on the Florida side because of what Grenard and Zuniga potentially allowed Todd Grantham to do, the injury part of this and how healthy the injured players trying to play, how healthy they truly are, that's also kind of one of the untold stories on Saturday, is it not?
Yeah, no doubt. And you're right. What Todd Grantham can call is completely different when Grenard and Zuniga are in there. They weren't in there against LSU, and I'm not going to say they would have beaten LSU had those two guys played, but it certainly would have helped the cause because with those guys coming off the edge, all of a sudden Marco Wilson and C.J. Henderson become, for the most part, lockdown corners, or at least as good a pair as you're going to find around. So that changes everything he can do on defense and the pressures that he brings, all that kind of thing. And, you know, they get Kadarius Toney back, too, and everybody kind of forgets about him because he's been out 6 weeks. But when he gets his hands on the football offensively, there's some different cats there, too. And if Trask has one more weapon, that's one more thing that, you know, Dan Lanning and Kirby Smart and the Georgia defense is going to have to worry about.
You're generous with your time. Let me do one more question before we let you go. It's obviously controversial in Georgia, and you live in the state of Georgia, so you understand this. The future of Georgia, Florida in Jacksonville, an extension to keep this thing there on the First Coast for at least a couple more years and maybe more beyond that. But for now, there certainly seems to be a growing sense this thing may become a home-and-home series at some point in time. How do you think, and I hate to ask you to speak for an entire network, but how do you think CBS would view this game as a home and home as opposed to the neutral site that it is in Jacksonville right now? Does the fact that you've got the 50-50 split and the fact that it is kind of a historic venue, at least in terms of how Georgia and Florida treat it, does that make the game more attractive to CBS because of that? Do you get any sense of how TV views this as a neutral site game?
You know, I never thought about it, to be honest with you. They could play this thing in a parking lot, and I'd be happy to call a game. So I don't know. You know, the programming department, that's a really good question. I'll ask that. I don't have an answer for you right now, but I'd be interested to know that. I think they would look at this as a great rivalry game, whether it's home and home. It's not like in 94 and 95 they didn't do the game, you know, when they were redoing the stadium. So that's a good question. I don't know if they consider the pageantry and all of that that much more worth it as far as just locking this game in every year? Good question. It's probably going to be in Jacksonville as long as I'm doing this, so
yeah.
I'm not going to worry about it right now.
Well, I understand that. Well, one way or another, the pageantry that is Georgia-Florida is presented well by CBS. You and Gary and Jamie Erdahl, you'll have a great call on Saturday. We'll look forward to watching that, of course. Big-time spot for the Dogs on TV against Florida. No better team to have calling the game. We appreciate you being here on Dog Nation Daily and hope you enjoy Jacksonville. Look forward to getting a chance to speak to you again soon.
You got it, Brandon. Have a good Halloween, man.
Yes, sir. You too. Good stuff there from Brad Nesser from CBS Sports. Pretty strong opinions from him on what this Georgia offense needs. Receivers giving Jake Fromm a little bit of help right now. And ultimately, obviously, we think about this being a game in which Georgia probably wants to run the ball, and you understand why that is. That's what Georgia's good at. That may be the spot in which Florida's vulnerable. But I do think there is kind of a weird thing to all of this, though, that the total number of running plays you get to call are largely dependent on how well you do when you're throwing the ball. I mean, we've heard the stat a million times that, well, you know, the team that runs the ball the best has won the last 13 times. That's a pretty misleading stat, all things being equal, because that's true in most cases. It's maybe somewhat unique that it's 13 straight for Georgia-Florida, but for the most part, the team that gains the most rushing yards in high school, college, and the NFL, that's the team that's typically going to win, you know, most of these games. So that stat may not be quite as predictive as you think it is, or it may not mean quite as much as you think it is. But ultimately, the thing that contributes to your rushing success is not how many explosive runs you get, more so than it is how many total runs you get. And the best way to add to your total runs is to have a lead late in the game, which means you take care of your possessions early in the game, which means you probably have to throw the ball some. So even in a game in which we expect Georgia's recipe for victory to be hopefully a dominant running game, you still probably need a little bit of a throw game to set all of that up. I've circled second down a lot this season. I think second down for Georgia is also key on Saturday, throwing it some there to extend possessions that give you a chance to run more. You want to have these 13, 14 play drives where you get a chance to run 7 or 8 times, throw a couple times to move the chains, and that gives you a chance to add even more rushing attempts and rushing totals to what you bring the table there. And challenging the receivers to provide for Amo what he needs, obviously that's made easier, we'd hope anyway. If you're a Georgia fan, you hope, with the return of Lawrence Cager, so worth paying attention to. Before we move on and talk about some injuries, can we hear one more on Fromm trying to talk about getting ready for the game on Saturday and kind of, you know, where this Georgia offense is as of right now? Let's hear Jake Fromm one more time.
The South Carolina game, you know, we were fighting. You know, they did a really good job of coming and had a great game plan for us. And, you know, they played really well that day. In the Kentucky game, I think that's a complete outlier game. It's soaking wet. And so, you know, that's just kind of part of it. You know what you're going to in that game. And it is what it is. So I think it's, you know, as especially for me and us as the offense, we're ready to go out and go play football and execute.
And that's exactly what Georgia will try to do on Saturday. And obviously, we said before, Lawrence Cager's return, I think one way or another, kind of speaks to how well Georgia will be there in that regard. With that in mind, it's probably appropriate to kind of move over here and do our Ortho Atlanta injury report. Now, Cager provided a little bit of an Ortho Atlanta injury report of his own on Twitter, and we talked about that earlier in the week on Dog Nation Daily, kind of giving the Undertaker rising from the dead theme, and on Instagram announcing that he's back. Kirby Smart's also kind of spoken about him in hopeful tones, practicing again here this week. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be out there every snap for the offense, but it's certainly been positive with everything we've heard at this point in time. Kind of the same thing about some other players there as well. However, I want you to hear this. You know, we always play a little bit of audio when it comes to Kirby and some of the injuries. He touches on Trayvon Walker. He touches on Tyson Campbell, mentions Cager again, but also it kind of leads into what may or may not have been going on with Demetrius Robertson as well with a hamstring. Obviously, Robertson's an important part of this on Saturday too. So here's part of our Ortho Atlanta injury report. Let's hear Kirby from Tuesday kind of recapping a number of UGA injuries.
Yeah, Cager's been out there practicing. Tyson's been out there practicing. Trayvon's been out there practicing. I don't know. You have to ask me specifically because I don't ever know who y'all are thinking about.
I want to ask you about D-Rob. You know, he kind of pushed through that hamstring thing. And is he back to 100%?
He's been fine. I mean, he had the hamstring. I forget what game that was. That was seems like an eternity ago now. I mean, but he's the games he's been back, he's been fine. We monitor his yardages and make sure he hits certain numbers and get him real loose before he starts. But he hasn't had any other problems.
So I think that Robertson's a very interesting player on Saturday and really for the remainder of the season. We've said before that Cager right now is probably Georgia's best receiving option, certainly the one that Fromm is most comfortable with. I think that George Pickens is the most spectacular. You know, his biggest and best plays kind of give you that wow sense. But the most important receiver may be Robertson. And I know that's kind of a weird differentiation, but I say that about Robertson because he brings that speed to the table. He is probably the fastest guy in that group when he's 100% healthy. Now, it sounds like Kirby's not that worried about a hamstring, although he was asked about it here this week. One way or another, getting the most out of Robertson's speed, I think, is really, really important. You want to be able to have that different kind of dimension. You know, it's more of the hard cutting fastball to go along with some of the off speed pitches that maybe the rest of the receiving core can kind of bring. I think that by having Cager back, all of a sudden everyone's level of play is raised just a little bit for Demetrius Robertson there included. So interesting update on his health from Kirby Smart this week as part of our Ortho Atlanta injury report. By the way, as I said before, the injury report is brought to you by our friends at Ortho Atlanta. 14 locations throughout Metro Atlanta, orthopedic and sports medicine care for the whole family, including seniors and kids. Now listen, they've got an army of folks working and dedicated to your health care and rehabilitation. 39 physicians, 450 employees. They also offer in-house physical therapy, MRI imaging, outpatient surgery, after-hours orthopedic care, and a whole lot more. And as I said before, this isn't just for this is little leaguers, weekend warriors, professional athletes, college athletes, everyone in between, including people like me, 40 plus years old, throwing my kids around all the time. You get those aches and pains in your shoulder, your back, and your neck. You know, listen, I want to be able to make sure I keep playing pickup basketball and playing golf and doing those kinds of things. Ortho Atlanta can provide that for you because a good orthopedist can kind of get you back in the game, but a great one can help maintain your quality of life. That is what Ortho Atlanta brings to the table. So let me give you the website to find them. Check them out online at orthoatlanta.com. That's orthoatlanta.com. That is the recommendation of Dog Nation.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So pretty interesting stuff from Brad Nessler a moment ago. Always appreciate his thoughts on the Georgia-Florida game, or really any Georgia game on CBS there. And obviously, we think that they do a great job on the call. So fun to have him on the program. Let's transition us to our SEC Through. Before we do that, there's some pretty hot news coming to the SEC right now. Let me give you a reminder about my friends at Brasstown Valley Resort. You know, we love Brasstown. We were there during the summer for Dog Nation Days of Summer. I've been there during the fall. I was there last winter when they were putting up the Christmas decorations. This time of year is beautiful for Brasstown Valley Resort. And in celebration of Brasstown's 25th anniversary, they've got a great offer right now. You can get 25% off on select dates in October, November, and December. But you've got to use the promo code BVR25 at checkout. So go to BrasstownValley.com. Use the promo code BVR25. Leaves changing colors. Beautiful right now. Heading towards a winter time of year where there's going to be that crackling fire in the fireplace. This is great golf. This is a good dining option. Spa. Beautiful appointed rooms. My room when I was there not too long ago, fireplace like right there in the room. So I mean, this is like really classy. You want to impress that special someone in your life? Don't think that fireplace in the room won't go a long way towards doing that. It's a very, very nice place. Brasstown Valley Resort, BVR25, promo code to use there when you go to BrasstownValley.com. Select dates in October, November, December. You can get 25% off in honor of Brasstown Valley Resort's 25th anniversary. All right, let's talk about Auburn here for a moment. We've done that a lot on our SEC Through thus far this season, but seems appropriate to do now today again, given the fact that Joey Gatewood, the backup quarterback, the guy that a lot of Auburn fans were calling to come in the game to replace Bo Nix, just given Nix's struggles, well, that never happened, and Joey Gatewood, apparently frustrated by that, has chosen to leave the Auburn program here during the season. Auburn fans are beside themselves. They are furious. I was listening to the Feinbaum show a little bit. They have been railing on Malzahn for his handling of the quarterback situation and letting Gatewood get away. Obviously, let me do the tangible part of this, and I'll get to the opinion part of it. Auburn's now very thin at quarterback. Of the four-person race they had before, Malik Willis transferred out, and Gatewood's gone now. That does leave Cord Sandberg still on the roster, but I was reading some Auburn folks about this yesterday. According to some people within the Auburn circle here, that if Bo Nix were to get hurt, I guess there's a thought they would put Booby Whitlow in at quarterback over Cord Sandberg. And Booby Whitlow himself is not 100% healthy right now. So that's how thin Auburn is at quarterback. They've got like three or four of the guys who've played some high school quarterback. I mean, it is really like that bad right now. And, you know, for for a lot of other Auburn fans, they kind of take this to Malzahn's history of quarterbacks leaving the program. Essentially, the only quarterbacks that Malzahn has brought in that didn't transfer out, Nick Marshall, Bo Nix, and he's only in his freshman season right now, Jared Stidham. Those are the only quarterbacks that Malzahn has brought in that didn't eventually end up transferring out of the program. It's like 8 of the 11 quarterbacks who've come into Auburn under Malzahn have eventually transferred out. And obviously, if you're a Georgia fan, you just love this, right? You revel in all this. And admittedly, I'm kind of the same way. It's a Gator-hater type of week, but there's still a little bit of room for the Deep South's oldest rivalry, too. And watching Malzahn squirm's never a bad thing to do. But in this case, though, and it feels like I've been kind of doing this a lot lately, I've got to kind of defend Malzahn just a little bit. I mean, we've said for a long time that, or at least the public at large for a long time has said, well, you've got to be more liberal with transfers because these coaches just leave willy-nilly anytime they want to. Why should players be held to a more restrictive standard than coaches are? And therefore, eventually the public kind of got its way, and all of a sudden now we have this epidemic, and I don't think that's too strong of a word to use, of transfers right now. Really kind of, I think, affecting the foundation upon which college football rests. So all of a sudden now, I think we've swung the balance way too far. If we say players should transfer because coaches are free to leave, but coaches don't leave during the season. Joey Gatewood now leaving during the season? Now, it's his right to do that, I guess. I think he should remember that the grass is not always greener on the other side, and even if he feels like he's been mistreated by Auburn, should have played over Bo Nix, the idea that he's going to leave and go find a happier situation somewhere else, ask Tate Martell how that's worked out. That, you know, not exactly always working out quite as well as you might think. So I think this is a really weird situation. I think it calls Malzahn's future into question. Now, second year after a new contract extension, you really can't afford to buy him out necessarily. But people aren't happy with his tutelage of the quarterbacks, his management of the offense. That's a real problem for right now. And I was going to do some other stories. Let's go ahead and make that your SEC through in 1 minute. All right, here on Dog Nation Daily, we are scheduled to have Robert Edwards with us. Robert's kind of held up for a little bit right now, a little bit of a scheduling conflict. So radio podcast, we'll try to catch up with him. And if we have to present that to you tomorrow, we will see if we can do that. Why don't we talk a little bit more about this game, though? My buddy Connor Riley, happy to join us. Now, if you're listening on the radio, if you're listening on the podcast, you can't see. But Connor, going Harry Potter here for Halloween?
Big fan. Love the books. The movies are eh. Saw Lamar Jackson went as a Harry Potter for a Ravens Halloween party and thought I just had to one-up him. So.
I saw where DeAndre Hopkins, the Texans receiver, was. Is it Aladdin? Is that who he was?
Yes.
That was a very elaborate costume. Yes. Very elaborate costume.
I'm not the biggest Halloween fan. I think it's kind of ridiculous that we let our kids hold them hostage for candy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do enjoy, you know, the act of getting dressed up and sort of seeing people's creativity.
So I don't know a ton about Harry Potter. That's a little bit – it was a little too young for me and a little bit too old for my current kids right now. So I don't know the Harry Potter lexicon all that well, but I thought Harry Potter was like a magician. Where's your cape? You're not wearing any kind of like magic suit.
First of all, Harry Potter is a wizard, not okay. A magician. Second of all, the whole cape thing sort of stemmed from the first two Harry Potter movies, Sorcerer's Stone and Chamber of Secrets,
sure.
Where they sort of made them wear these sort of black robes over their school clothes. Whereas in the third movie, directed by Academy Award-winning director Alfonso Cuarón, sort of modernized the, you know, outfits that they wore. They wore, you know, a lot more just, you know, button-downs and sort of adult, grown-up, sort of everyday clothing attire.
So I'm going to steal somebody else's joke, but you look a little bit less like Harry Potter today, a little bit more like Harold Potter right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Harry's a tough look to pull off, but...
No, but listen, I appreciate you doing it, and I think it's a successful deal here. Hopefully Georgia and Florida can be successful on Saturday. With that in mind, before we wrap up the show, why don't we take a couple comments? Matt Rukavina says, my kids love Harry Potter. Connor needs a Gryffindor sweater?
Gryffindor.
A Gryffindor sweater. Ray June Johnson also says, I better learn the difference. Well, boy, a lot of folks... Kathy Aquavia Green says, which house did you sort into? I had no, I don't know what that means, but I'm assuming it's an inside joke for Harry Potter Files. I had no idea that our audience is so Harry Potter friendly.
I am a Gryffindor through and through. Not smart enough to be a Ravenclaw, not evil enough to be a Slytherin.
Zinti Zelo Allen coming at me too here saying, B.A., he's a wizard. Don't be disrespectful.
Thank you.
I apologize.
Thank you. We're supposed to be talking about Georgia football, and we're out here talking about Wizards.
I guess so. Well, what is the wizardry necessary for Georgia to get the win on Saturday? A realistic one on YouTube says, what's Mullen's record against Kirby's teams? We said this before. Four outright upsets for Mullen since being at Florida. But one of those, though, as a seven-point dog last year, was not UGA. 19-point win there. You know, Mullen's been a good game coach. Kirby, though, has had that number a little bit, and I trust that plays out on Saturday there as well. I hope it's not wishful thinking on my part, but that's kind of what I trust.
I would also just point out the last time Mullen was an underdog, he lost and failed to cover against LSU with this current team. But he did beat Auburn at home. How good that Auburn team is, I'm not quite sure. But I do think this is a good Florida team. I've been impressed with what I've seen out of Kyle Trask. They have obviously very talented wide receivers. And, you know, this defense can get after it. They're not quite as blitz heavy as they have been in the past under Todd Grantham, and they're not very deep. But they have some high-end talent guys there that I think is they're going to make Georgia have to work for it on Saturday.
I know I mentioned this earlier in the show, but also keep in mind as well that when Georgia hosted Mississippi State in 2017, this is a Mississippi State team that had big-time players on defense, a lot of NFL guys. At the time, we were of the belief that Nick Fitzgerald was the next Dak Prescott. They were a very narrow underdog in Athens that day. Lost the game 31-3, was never close. Flea flicker on the first play of the game from Jake Fromm to Terry Godwin. So another example of a Dan Mullen team that was supposed to have arrived, supposed to have been on the scene, and in this particular case, they just could not quite get that done. I think that Georgia is an imperfect team right now. You've heard me say enough of that to know that there are some blemishes that I think need to be kind of cleaned up for Georgia. But against Dan Mullen, this is a pretty good spot for the Dogs to be in, all things considered.
I would agree. I think as good as this Florida team is, the things they don't do well, run the football and stop the run, Georgia does incredibly well. And I think that's going to be a problem for them on Saturday.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty true there as well. So what we'll try to do is we're going to try to get Robert Edwards. We'll catch up with him. We may do this live on video here today. If it ends up being, you know, later on, maybe radio podcast, we can deliver that for you tomorrow. Also, big episode of our program tomorrow as well. Getaway day for us on the way to Jacksonville. Jeff Sintel going to be here. A lot of fun stuff there. If you're getting ready for Halloween tonight, hope you enjoy it with your friends and family and young kids and everything else. Don't eat too much candy. We need you to have your game face on for this weekend. But, of course, we always appreciate you being with us for the program. And as we get ready to wrap up, I know I said this to our video audience a little bit earlier. I'll say this to everybody right now. I've been having some fun today. I've got this Dan Mullen clown T-shirt on. This is from a great guy that I had a chance to meet at our Dog Nation Days of Summer event back at Brasstown Valley Resort earlier this summer, Andrew George from Asheville, North Carolina. He sent this to me in the mail to wear today, and, man, I have had a good time wearing this. Video audience has certainly seemed to enjoy that, and so I appreciate Andrew sending that in, appreciate getting a chance to wear that, and I'll be looking forward to wearing this, Gator Hater T-shirts, everything else, as a part of the weekend to come. It's going to be a great time for our Dog Nation invasion, and a great opportunity for Georgia, for Eddie himself, to keep watching that Gator Hater number keeping on climbing. How about 1,097 days? That's how long it's been since Florida's beaten Georgia. That is a streak that I am very proud of. I think UGA fans ought to be very proud of. And it is very important. That one continues beyond Saturday. Thanks for being here on Dog Nation Daily. All right, so that's how it's done. A little filler for the radio and podcast group. And we will